From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the third Bard Brawl podcast. My name is Daniel Giroux. I'm the host of the Bard Brawl podcast. With me is Eric Jean.
Hey, hey.
Happy about his new Montreal Canadiens first round draft pick.
And the subsequent round picks, too.
And subsequent round picks. Joining us today, readers are straight off her performance as Machiavelli tells the prince. No, sorry. It was the prince as told by Machiavelli. The little prince as told by Machiavelli. You didn't play the little prince anyway, so.
No. Or Machiavelli.
Or Machiavelli. But she was very good. Miss Melissa Alina Taylor. How are you, Melissa?
I'm good, thank you.
And from the pits of barbecue, the master of languages, Mr. Benny Headley.
Hi.
And in German?
Hello.
And in French?
Hello.
You just learned three languages there. Also joining us today is the one and only Mickey Laval, whose water is now working. She is now able to take showers.
Very happy to be here.
That was a long and drawn-out epic tragedy, like Hamlet.
Only with plumbing.
Only with plumbing. We are in Merchant of Venice. We are in Act 3. Act 1 and 2 set the stage of the play. Eric, Act 1 and 2...
In 30 seconds... In Act 1 and 2, we find out that Bassanio is trying to court this woman, Portia, but he has no money to do it, so he takes out a loan. His friend Antonio takes out a loan on his behalf from Shylock, who says, no problem, I'll lend you the money, but if you can't pay, I'm taking a pound of your flesh. They sort of laugh it off and say, okay, great, we'll go ahead and do that. And that's more or less the setup.
Pretty much it. You can listen to both Act 1 and 2 on bardbrawl.com or go to iTunes and subscribe and download the podcasts. They are both there. Reading today, we are in Act 3, so this is the crux, the pinnacle of the 5-act Shakespearean style play. Act 3, we are between Venice and Belmont, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of characters. Please bear with us. We have 5 readers and, I don't know, about 12 or so characters. So Act 1, let's get right to it. Venice. Enter. Selenio. Or, no, Selenio, it's always Selenio, right? It's the other
or
one.
Or Selenio.
Or Selenio.
Yeah.
And Celerino, Celerino or Celerio.
Yeah, something like that.
This is the two characters that drive me crazy because they get written as different things in different editions. Anyway, I will be reading Solenio. Eric Jean will be reading Solerio for us. In this scene also, we have Shylock, who will be read by Benny. And we have a servant, I believe, who will be read by...
Moi.
Wow, Mickey, you get servant duty. And also we have the introduction of Tubal, read by Melissa. I like Tubal. He's a cool character. Everybody likes Tubal. So, Venice, enter Solanio and Solerio. Now, what news on the Rialto?
Why, it lives there unchecked, that Antonio hath a ship of rich lading wrecked on the narrow seas. The Goodwins, I think they call the place. A very dangerous flat and fatal, where the carcasses of many a tall ship lay buried, as they say, if my gossip report be an honest woman of her word.
I would she were as lying a gossip in that as ever napped Ginger or made her neighbors believe she wept for the death of a third husband. But it is true, without any slips of prolixity or crossing the plain highway of talk, that the good Antonio, the honest Antonio, oh, that I had a title good enough to keep his name company.
Come, the full stop.
Ha, what sayst thou? Why, the end is... he hath lost a ship.
I would it might prove the end of his losses.
Let me say amen betimes, lest the devil cross my prayer, for here comes in likeness of a Jew.
Enter Shylock.
How now, Shylock? What news among the merchants?
You know, none so well, as you, of my daughter's flight.
That's certain. I, for my part, knew the tailor that made the wings she flew withal.
And Shylock, for his own part, knew the bird was fledged, and then it is the complexion of them all to leave the dam.
She is damned for it.
That's certain, if the devil may be her judge.
My own flesh and blood to rebel.
Out upon it, old carrion rebels, and at these years?
I say, my daughter is my flesh and blood.
There is more difference between thy flesh and hers than between jet and ivory. More between your bloods than there is between red wine and Rhenish. But tell us, do you hear whether Antonio have had any loss at sea or no?
There I have another bad match, a bankrupt, a prodigal, who dares scarce show his head on the Rialto, a beggar that was used to come so smug upon the mart. Let him look to his bond. He was wont to call me usurer. Let him look to his bond. He was wont to lend money for a Christian curtsy. Let him look to his bond.
Why, I am sure if he forfeit, that will not take his flesh. What's that good for?
To bait fish withal. If it will feed nothing else, it will feed my revenge. He hath disgraced me and hindered me 500,000, laughed at my losses, mocked at my gains, scorned my nation, thwarted my bargains, cooled my friends, heated mine enemies. And what's his reason? I am a Jew. Hath not a Jew eyes? Hath not a Jew hands, organs, dimensions, senses, affections, passions? Fed with the same food, hurt with the same weapons, subject to the same diseases, healed by the same means, warmed and cooled by the same winter and summer, as a Christian is? If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die? And if you wrong us, shall we not revenge? If we are like you in the rest, we will resemble you in that. If a Jew wrong a Christian, what is his humility? Revenge. If a Christian wrong a Jew, what should his sufferance be by Christian example? Why, revenge. The villainy you teach me, I will execute, and it shall go hard, but I will better the instruction.
Enter a servant.
Gentlemen, my master Antonio is at his house and desires to speak with both of you.
We have been up and down to seek him.
Enter Tubal. Here comes another of the tribe. A third cannot be matched unless the devil himself turn Jew. Exit Selenio and Salario and servant.
How now, Tubal? What news from Genoa? Hast thou found my daughter?
I often came where I did hear of her, but cannot find her.
Why, there. A diamond gone cost me 2,000 ducats in Frankfurt. The course never fell upon our nation till now. I never felt it till now. 2,000 ducats in that, and other precious, precious jewels. I would my daughter were dead at my foot and the jewels in her ear. Would she were hearsed at my foot and the ducats in her coffin. No news of them? Why so? And now not, and I know not what's spent in the search. Why, thou loss upon thou loss. The thief gone with so much and so much to find the thief. And no satisfaction, no revenge. Nor no in luck stirring but what lights in on my shoulders. No sighs but of my breathing, no tears but of my shedding.
Yes, other men have ill luck too, Antonio, as I heard in Genoa.
What? Ill luck?
Hath an argosy cast away coming from the Tripolis.
I thank God. Is it true?
I spoke with some of the sailors that escaped the wreck.
I thank thee, good Tubal. Good news. Ha ha, where in Genoa?
Your daughter sent in Genoa, as I heard in one night, four ducats.
Thou stickest a dagger in me. I shall never see my gold again. 40 ducats at a sitting. 40 ducats.
There came divers of Antonio's creditors in my company to Venice. They that swear he cannot choose but break.
I am very glad of it. I'll plague him. I'll torture him. I am glad of it.
One of them showed me a right that he had of your daughter for a monkey.
Out upon her. Thou torturest me, Tubal. It was my turquoise. I had it of Leah when I was a bachelor. I would not have given it for a wilderness of monkeys.
But Antonio is certainly undone.
Nay, that's true. That's very true. Go, Tubal. Fee me an officer. Bespeak him a fortnight before. I will have the heart of him if he forfeit, for, were he out of Venice, I can make what merchandise I will. Go, Tubal, and meet me at your synagogue. Go, Tubal, and at our synagogue, Tubal.
Excellent. All right.
Ooh, there's a lot.
Yeah. Good scene to end.
Oh,
scene to enter Act 3 with. Things are starting to not go so good for Antonio.
Oh, is this
well, it wouldn't be much of a story if he didn't.
Yeah, I guess not. This is a great scene.
This is when Bassanio has to choose, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is when the Shylock to Ball, I think it's one of the more interesting relationships. Mm-hmm. And just Shylock's anger and just...
Well, because he feeds his anger here, but then later on he's on the other side and he seems to be calling for him, for Shylock not to go as far as he wants to go.
Right, and this is the, if you ever want to make a case for Shylock, that speech just is, like, you can imagine it now, it's not so, actually I think they did that speech on the X-Men once, Beast gave that speech, mutants prick us, do we not bleed? And this speech kind of, if you can imagine it in the 16th century, that would be pretty powerful speech to be hearing.
Yeah, I
like
think
in,
so.
In part of, in that whole culture.
Yeah, I think so.
So we've got we're going to Belmont now. We're on scene 2. We've got Bassanio, who I will be reading as per normal. Portia, who will be read by Mickey. Gratiano, that's you, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Enter, Melissa. And anyone else come in?
Narissa, read by
Narissa,
me.
Eric's girlfriend, Marissa. Well, it's not your girlfriend, it's your character, so.
It's his female side.
It's his female side. Eric likes to explore his female side. There's nothing wrong
with
that.
That's what Shakespeare's for men to explore their female
exactly.
side.
And I think that's it for this. Lorenzo shows up for a bit. So maybe Benny, you can read Lorenzo. He shows up for a bit.
I already am.
There we go.
All right.
Act 3, Scene 2, Belmont. Enter Bassanio, Portia, Narissa, Graziano, and all their trains. Choo choo.
You should wanted to do this for a while.
How long have you been saving that? Okay. I pray you, tarry pause a day or two before you hazard, for in choosing I lose your company. Therefore, forbear a while. There's something tells me, but it is not love. I would not lose you. And you know yourself, hate counsels not in such a quality. But least you should not understand me well, and yet a maiden hath no tongue but thought. I would detain you here for some month or two before you venture for me. I could teach you how to choose right, for I am then forsworn, so I will never be. So may you miss me. But if you do, you'll make me wish a sin that I had been forsworn. Beshrew your eyes. They have overlooked me and divided me. One half of me is yours.
Sorry.
The other half yours. My own, I would say, but if mine, then yours. And so all yours. Oh, these naughty times put bars between the owners and their rights. Oh, so that yours, not yours. Prove it so. Let fortune go to hell for it. Not I. I speak too long, but 'tis to appease the time. To eke it and draw it out in length to save you from election.
Notice to all audience members, please remember to turn your cell phones off before the commencement of the play. Thank you. Let me choose, for as I am, I live upon the rack.
Upon the rack, Bassanio? Then confess what treason there is mingled with your love.
None but that ugly treason of mistrust, which makes me fear the enjoying of my love. There may as well be amity in life, tween snow and fire as treason and my love.
Eh, but I fear you speak upon the rack, where men in force do speak anything.
Promise me life, and I'll confess the truth.
Well, then confess and live.
Confess and love had been the very sum of my confession. Oh, happy torment, when my torturer doth teach me answers for deliverance. But let me to my fortune and the caskets.
Away, then. I am locked in one of them. If you do love me, you will find me out. Narissa and the rest, stand all aloof. Let music sound while he doth make his choice. Then, if he lose, he makes a swan-like end, fading in music, that the comparison may stand more proper. My eyes shall be the stream and watery deathbed for him. he may win. And what is music then? Then music is, even as the flourish when true subjects bow to the new crowned monarch. Such it is as those dulcet sounds in break of day that creep into the dreaming bride's groom's ear and summon him to marriage. Now he goes, with no less presence, but with much more love than young Ulysses. And he did redeem the virgin tribute paid to him by howling Troy to the sea monster. I stand for sacrifice. The rest aloof are the Dardanian wives with blessed visages come forth to view the issue of the exploit. Go, Hercules, live thou, I live. With much, much more dismay, I view the fight than thou must makest the fray.
Thank you for the music. I'm not singing this. Tell me where is fancy bred, or in the heart, or in the head. How begot, how nourished, reply, reply. It is engendered in the eyes. With gazing fed and fancy dies, in the cradle where it lies. Let us all ring fancy's knell. I'll begin it. Ding, dong, bell.
Ding, dong, bell.
Thank you. So, may the outward shows be least themselves. The world is still deceived with ornament and law. What plea so tainted and corrupt, but being seasoned with a gracious voice, obscures the show of evil? In religion, what damned error, but some sober brow will bless it and approve it with a text, hiding the grossness of fair ornament. There is no vice so simple, but assume some mark of virtue on this outward parts. How many cowards whose hearts are all as false as stairs of sand, wear yet upon their chins the beards of Hercules and frowning Mars, who inward search it, have livers white as milk, and these assume but valor's excrement to render them redoubted. Look on, beauty, and you shall see 'tis purchased by the weight, which therein works a miracle in nature, making them lightest that wear most of it. So are those crisped, snaky, golden locks which make such wanton gambols with the wind, upon supposed fairness often known to be the dowry of a second head, the skull that bred them in the sepulchre. Thus ornament is but gild shore. To a most dangerous sea the beauteous scarf veiled an Indian beauty, in a word, the seeming truth which cunning times put on to entrap the wisest. Therefore, thou gaudy gold, heart fool for Midas, I will none of thee. Nor none of thee, thou pale and common drudge, tween man and man, but thou meager lead, which rather threatenest than dost promise aught. Thy paleness moves me more than eloquence, and here choose I. Joy be the consequence.
How all the other passions flee to air as doubtful thoughts and rash embrace despair, shuddering fear and green-eyed jealousy. O love, be moderate, allay thy ecstasy, in measure reign thy joy, scant this excess. I feel too much thy blessing, make it less, for fear I surfeit.
What find I here? Fair Portia's counterfeit? What demigod hath come so near creation move these eyes? Or whether riding on the balls of mine, seem they in motion? Here are severed lips, parted with sugar breath, so sweet a bar should sunder such sweet friends. Here in her hairs the painter plays the spider and hath woven a golden mesh to entrap the hearts of men, faster than gnats in cobwebs. But her eyes, how could he see to do them? Having made one, methinks it should have power to steal both his, and leave itself unfurnished. Yet look, how far the substance of my praise doth wrong the shadow, in underprizing it. So far the shadow doth limp beyond the substance. Here is the scroll, the continent summary of my fortune. You that choose not by the view, chance is fair and choose is true. Since this fortune falls to you, be content and seek no new. If you be well pleased with this and hold your fortune for your bliss, turn you where your lady is and claim her with a loving kiss. A gentle scroll, fair lady, by your leave I come by note to give and to receive, like one of two contending in a prize that thinks he hath done well in people's eyes. Hearing applause and universal shout, giddy in spirit, still gazing in a doubt, whether these pearls of praise be his or no. So, thrice fair lady, stand I, even so, as doubtful whether what I see be true, until confirmed, signed, ratified by you.
You see me, Lord Bassanio, where I stand, such as I am. Though for myself alone I would not be ambitious in my wish, to wish myself much better. Yet for you I would be troubled 20 times myself, 1,000 times more fair, 10,000 times more rich, that only to stand high in your account I might in virtue, beauties, livings, friends exceed account. But the full sum of me is sum of something which to terms in gross is an unlessoned girl, unschooled, unpracticed, happy in this. She is not yet so old, but she may learn. Happier than this, she is not bred so dull, but she can learn. Happiest of all is that her gentle spirit commits itself to yours to be directed as from her lord, her governor, her king. Myself and what is mine to you and yours is now converted. But now I was the lord of this fair mansion, master of my servants, queen or myself, and even now, but now, this house, these servants, and this same myself are yours, my lord. I give them with this ring, which, when you part from, lose, or give away, let it presage the ruin of your love, and be my vantage to exclaim on you.
Madam, you have bereft me of all words. Only my blood speaks to you in my veins, and there is such confusion in my powers, and after some oration fairly spoke by a beloved prince, there doth appear among the buzzing, pleased multitude, where every something being blent together turned to a wild of nothing, save of joy, express it and not express it. But when this ring parts from this finger, then parts life from hence. Oh! Then be bold to say Bassanio's dead.
My lord and lady, it is now our time that have stood by and seen our wishes prosper to cry, good joy, my lord and lady.
My lord Bassanio and my gentle lady, I wish you all the joy that you can wish, for I'm sure you can wish none from me. And when your honor means to solemnize the bargain of my faith, I do beseech you, even at the time I may be married to.
With all my heart, so thou canst get a wife.
I thank your lordship. You have got me one. My eyes, my lord, can look as swift as yours. You saw the mistress, I beheld the maid. You loved, I loved for intermission. No more pertinence to me, my lord, than you. Your fortune stood upon the casket there, and so did mine too, as the matter falls, for wooing her until I sweat again, and sweating until my very roof was dry, with oaths of love. As last, if promise last, I got a promise of this fair one here to have her love, provided that your fortune achieved her mistress.
How convenient.
Is this true, Nerissa?
Madam, it is, so you stand pleased withal.
And do you, Gratiano, mean good faith?
Yes, faith, my lord.
Our fee shall be much honored in your marriage.
We'll pay with them the first boy for 1,000 ducats.
What, and stake down?
Now, we shall ne'er win at the sport and stake down. But who comes here? Lorenzo and his infidel? What, and my old Venetian friend Solario?
Enter Lorenzo, Jessica, and Solario, a messenger from Venice. Lorenzo and Solario, welcome hither. If that the youth of my new interest here hath power to bid you welcome, by your leave I bid my very friends and countrymen, sweet Portia, welcome.
So do I, my lord. They are entirely welcome.
I thank your honor. For my part, my lord, my purpose was not to have seen you here. But meeting with Solario, by the way, he did entreat me, past all saying nay, to come with him along.
I did, my lord, and I have reason for it. Signor Antonio commends him to you.
Gives Bassanio a letter. Ere I ope his letter, I pray you, tell me how my good friend doth.
Not sick, my lord, unless it be in mind, nor well, unless it be in mind. His letter there will show you his estate.
Nerissa, cheer yon stranger. Bid her welcome. Your hand, Solario. What's the news from Venice? How doth the royal merchant good Antonio? I know he will be glad of our success. We are the Jasons. We have won the fleece.
I would you had won the fleece that he hath lost.
There are some shrewd contents in yon same paper that steals the color from Bassanio's cheek. Some dear friend dead, else nothing in the world could turn so much the constitution of any constant man. What worse? Worse? And leave, Bassanio. I am half yourself. I must freely have the half of anything that this same paper brings you.
Oh, sweet Portia, here are a few of the unpleasantest words that ever blotted paper. Gentle lady, when I did first impart my love to you, I freely told you all the wealth I had ran in my veins. I was a gentleman, and then I told you true. And yet, dear lady, rating myself at nothing, you shall see how much I was a braggart. When I told you my state was nothing, I should have told you that I was worse than nothing. For indeed I have engaged myself to a dear friend, engaged my friend to his mere enemy to feed my means. Here's a letter, lady. The paper as the body of my friend, and every word in it a gaping wound, issuing lifeblood. But it is true, Solerio? Hath all his ventures failed? What, not one hit? From Tripolis, from Mexico and England, from Lisbon, Barbary and India? And not one vessel scaped the dreadful touch of merchant marring rocks?
Not one, my lord. Besides, it should appear that if he had the present money to discharge the Jew, he would not take it. Never did I know a creature that did bear the shape of man so keen and greedy to confound a man. He plies the duke at morning and at night, and doth impeach the freedom of the state if they deny him justice. 20 merchants, the duke himself, and the magnificos of great port, have all persuaded with him, but none can drive him from his envious plea of forfeiture, of justice and his bond.
When I was with him, I have heard him swear to Tubal and to...
This is Jessica reading now.
And to choose his countrymen, that he would rather have Antonio's flesh than the 20 times the value of the sum than he did own him. And I know, my lord, if law, authority, and power deny not, I will go hard with poor Antonio.
Is this your dear friend that is in thus in such trouble?
This, the dearest friend to me, the kindest man, the best condition and unwearied spirit, in doing courtesies, and one in whom the ancient Roman honor more appears than any that draws breath in Italy.
What sum owes he the Jew?
For me, 3,000 ducats.
What? No more? Pay him 6,000 and deface the bond. Double 6,000 and then treble that before a friend of this description shall lose a hair through Bassanio's fault. First, go with me to church and call me wife, and then away to Venice, to your friend, for never shall you lie by Portia's side with an unquiet soul. You shall have gold to pay the petty debt 20 times over. When it is paid, bring your true friend along, my maid Nerissa, and myself meantime will live as maids and widows. Come away, for you shall hence upon your wedding day. Bid your friends welcome, show a merry cheer. Since you are dear bought, I will love you, dear. But let me hear the letter of your friend.
Sweet Bassanio, my ships have all miscarried, my creditors grow cruel, my estate is very low, my bond to the Jew is forfeit, and since in paying it, it is impossible I should live. All debts are cleared between you and I. If I might but see you at my death, notwithstanding, use your pleasure. If your love do not persuade you to come, let not my letter.
Oh, love, dispatch all business and be gone.
Since I have your good leave to go away, I will make haste. But till I come again, no bed shall e'er be guilty of my stay, nor rest be interposer twixt us twain. So if anybody would like to read Eric's take on the three caskets, he covered that in last act. There's a little write-up on that, so you can read that, because that more came up in Act 2. Now we are going back to Venice. Enter the Jew Shylock, Solenio, and Antonio. Eric is Antonio, as per always. I think it's... Is it? How would you rank Antonio as your favorite to read?
I don't know. He's pretty up there, but...
He is something fun about reading him.
Yeah.
And by the way, if anybody had any...
Party pooper.
Fond feelings about Bassanio, I think that last scene just kills them. I can't... Maybe that's why I like reading him, because he's the worst. That's just my opinion. You can feel free to criticize that opinion if you want. So Solenio, I will read Solenio. Antonio is Eric, and Shylock is Benny.
Gowler, look to him. Tell not me of mercy. This is the fool that lend out money gratis. Gowler, look to him.
Hear me yet, good Shylock.
I'll have my bond. Speak not against my bond. I have sworn an oath that I will have my bond. Thou call'st me a dog before thou hadst a cause. But since I am a dog, beware of my fangs. The Duke shall grant me justice. I do wonder, thou naughty Gowler, that thou art so fond to come abroad with him at his request.
I pray thee, hear me speak.
I'll have my bond. I will not hear thee speak. I'll have my bond, and therefore speak no more. I'll not be made a soft and dull-eyed fool, to shake the head, relent, and sigh, and yield to Christian intercessors. Follow not. I'll have no speaking. I'll have my bond.
So this is Celerino. Also in some texts it's written as Celenio. The two characters are sort of interchangeable, as been established many times. Celerino, it is the most impenetrable cur that ever kept with men.
Let him alone. I'll follow him no more with bootless prayers. He seeks my life. His reasons well I know. I oft delivered from his forfeitures many that have at times made moan to me. Therefore he hates me.
I am sure the Duke will never grant this forfeiture to hold.
The Duke cannot deny the course of law. For the commodity that strangers have with us in Venice, if it be denied, will much impeach the justice of his state, since that the trade and profit of the city consisteth of all nations. Therefore go. These griefs and losses have so baited me that I shall hardly spare a pound of flesh tomorrow to my bloody creditor. Well, jailer, on. Pray God Bassanio come to see me pay his debt, and then I care not.
An excellent speech, and one that I think symbolizes a lot of this play. It's that Antonio speech about the Duke cannot deny the course of law for the commodity that strangers have with us in Venice. If it be denied, will much impeach the justice of the state. As if the law, commerce, and state all go together.
Mm-hmm. In Venice, the law allowed foreigners and people who weren't native Venetians to trade and engage in that. And so that's what Shylock, in a sense, is abusing here.
He's also symbolizing it, though, isn't he? By forcing the law to be enacted.
Well, it's a play about law and justice, right? But it really comes down to it.
And Antonio is willing to sacrifice his life for both Bassiano's love, weirdly.
But he recognizes the justice of justice. The situation. He recognizes that Shylock has every reason to want him gone.
Right. He seeks my life, his reasons well I know. So complacent. Very stoic, Antonio. Enter scene 3, we're back to Belmont. This is the other half of the story, which involves more Lorenzo and Jessica. So we have Portia, Nerissa, Lorenzo, Jessica, and Balthazar. I'll read Balthazar. He's just the clown, just a servant, whatever.
Yeah.
Lorenzo.
Madam, although I speak it in your presence, you have a noble and true conceit of godlike amity, which appears most strongly in bearing thus the absence of your lord. But if you knew to whom you show this honor, how true a gentleman you send relief, how dear a lover of my lord, your husband, I know you would be prouder of the work than customary bounty can force you.
I never did repent for doing good, nor shall not now. For in companions that do converse and waste the time together, whose souls do bear an equal yoke of love, there must be needs a like proportion of lineaments, of manners, and of spirit, which makes me think that this Antonio, being the bosom lover of my lord, must needs be like my lord. If it be so, how little is the cost I have bestowed in purchasing the semblance of my soul from out the state of hellish misery? Ah, this comes too near the praising of myself, therefore no more of it. Hear other things. Lorenzo, I commit into your hands the husbandry and manage of my house, until my lord's return. For my own part, I have towards heaven breathed a secret vow to live in prayer and contemplation, only attended by Nerissa here, until her husband and my lord's return, There is a monastery 2 miles off, and there will we abide. I do desire you not to deny this imposition that will my love and some necessity now lays upon you.
Madam, with all my heart, I shall obey you in all fair commands.
My people do already know my mind, and will acknowledge you and Jessica in place of Lord Bassanio and myself. And so, farewell, till we meet again.
Fair thoughts and happy hours attend on you.
I wish your ladyship all heart's content.
I thank you for your wish, and am well pleased to wish it back on you. Fare you well, Jessica.
Exeunt Jessica and Lorenzo.
Now, Balthazar, as I have ever found honest true, so let me find thee still. Take this letter, and use though all the endeavor of a man in speed to Padua. See thou render this into my cousin's hands, Dr. Bellario, and look what notes and garments he doth give thee. Bring them, I pray thee, with imagined speed, unto the Tranicet?
Tranict? I don't know what it is.
Unto the Tranict, to common ferry which trades to Venice. Waste no time in words, but get thee gone. I shall be there before thee.
Madam, I go with all convenient speed.
Exit.
Come on, Nerissa. I have work in hand that you yet know not of. We'll see our husbands before they think of us.
Shall they see us?
They shall, Nerissa, but in such a habit that they shall think we are accomplished with that we lack. I hold thee any wager when we go both accoutred like young men, I'll prove the prettier fellow of the two, and wear my dagger with the braver grace, and speak between the charge of man and boy with a reed voice, and turn 2 mincing steps into a manly stride, and speak a phrase like a fine bragging youth, and tell quaint lies how honorable ladies sought my love, which I denying, they fell sick and died. I could not do withal. Then I'll repent and wish for all that I had not killed them. And 20 of these puny lies I'll tell, that men shall swear I have discontinued school about a 12-month. I'll have within my mind 1,000 rod tricks of these bragging jacks, which I will practice.
Why, shall we turn to men?
Fie, what a question that. If thou wert near a lewd interpreter. But come, I'll tell thee all my whole device. When I'm in my coach, which stays for us at the park gate, and therefore haste away, for we must measure 20 miles today.
Dun dun dun. Dun, dun, dun. The switching gender role standard.
Yeah. Oh, it's just even more interesting because she was just talking about how Antonio is just me, really, but maybe I shouldn't talk too much about how Antonio is just me because it's kind of creepy. So let's go be boys now.
Yeah, there's a lot you could write about gender in this. A little bit of a feminist speech here. Bit of a. I'm gonna be better than them. I'll be.
It's very wife of Bath.
Wife of Bath sort of thing.
And she's also kind of teasing Nerissa because she's saying she's leaped so willingly into the role of being a man, and she's really taking this kind of joyful pride and saying, I'm going to lie, I'm going to brag about all the women I slept with, I'm going to be a truant, I'm going to be the prettier guy, I'm going to swish around with my sword. And you get the feeling that Nerissa's just kind of standing there like, okay, I'm going to follow you.
I thought we got boyfriends. I thought we got boyfriend and the play is finished. I was a little harsh on this more than once, this part of the story, how, like, the rings and all of this and the manipulation. Yeah. But actually, when I saw this play, I was with 2 friends of mine, 2 girls, and they were just getting such a kick out of it, and one of them just turned and went, nothing changes. Like, it was just so perfect. Like, of course they're going to do that, and
yeah.
As you will see later. So here is the actual clown, Lancelot, entering scene 5 with Jessica. Jessica is read by Melissa, Lancelot is by Eric, just to remind.
Yes, truly. For look you, the sins of the father are to be laid upon the children. Therefore, I promise ye, I fear you. I was always plain with you, and so now I speak my agitation of the matter. Therefore, be of good cheer, for truly I think you are damned. But there is but one hope in it that can do you any good, and that is but a kind of bastard hope, neither.
And what hope is that, I pray thee?
Mary, you may partly hope that your father got you not, that you are not the Jew's daughter.
That were a kind of bastard hope, indeed. So the sin of my mother should be visited upon me.
Truly, then, I fear you are damned both by father and mother. Thus, when I shun Scylla, your father, I fall into Charybdis, your mother. Well, you are gone both ways.
I shall be saved by my husband. He hath made me a Christian.
Truly, the more to blame he. We were Christians enough before, even as many as could well live one by another. This making Christians will raise the price of hogs. If we grow all to be pork eaters, we shall not shortly have a rasher on the coals for money.
Enter Lorenzo.
I tell my husband, Lancelot, what you say. Here he comes.
I shall grow jealous of you shortly, Lancelot, if you thus get my wife in the corners.
Nay, you need not fear us, Lorenzo. Lancelot and I are out. He tells me flatly there is no mercy for me in heaven, because I am a Jew's daughter. And he says you are no good member of the commonwealth, for in converting Jews to Christians, you raise the price of pork.
I shall answer that better to the commonwealth than you can the getting up of the negro's belly. The more is the child by you, Lancelot.
It is more that the more should be more than reason. But if she be less than an honest woman, she is indeed more than I took her for.
How every fool can play upon the word. I think the best grace of wit will shortly turn into silence, and discourse grow commendable in none only but parrots. Go in, sirrah. Bid them prepare for dinner.
That is done, sir. They have all stomachs.
Goodly lord, what a wit snapper you are. Then bid them prepare dinner.
That is done too, sir. Only cover is the word.
Will you cover then, sir?
Not so, sir, neither. I know my duty.
Yet more quarreling with occasion. Wilt thou show the whole wealth of thy wit in an instant? I pray, tree, understand a plain man in his plain meaning. Go to thy fellows, bid them cover the table, serve in the meat, and we will come in to dinner.
For the table, sir, it shall be served in. For the meat, sir, it shall be covered. For your coming in to dinner, sir, why, let it be as humours and conceits shall govern.
Exit.
Oh, dear discretion, how his words are suited. The fool hath planted in his memory an army of good words, and I do know as many fools that stand in better place, garnished like him, that for a tricksy word defy the matter. How cheerest thou, Jessica? And now, good sweet, say thy opinion. How dost thou like the Lord Bassanio's wife?
Past of all expressing, it is very meet. The Lord Bassanio live an upright life, for having such a blessing in his lady. He finds the joy of heaven here on earth, and if on earth he do not mean it, then in reason he should never come to heaven. Why, if two gods should play some heavenly match, and on the wager lay two earthly women, and Portia won, there must be something else, pawned with the other, for the poor rude word hath not her fellow.
Even such a husband hast thou of me, as she is for a wife.
Nay, but I ask my opinion too of that.
I will anon. First let us go to dinner.
Nay, let me praise you while I have a stomach.
No, pray thee, let it serve for table talk. Then, howsoever thou speakst, among other things, I shall digest it.
Well, I'll set you forth.
And that is the end.
I find that always, like, the most disturbing scene in the play for me.
Yeah? Lorenzo?
Yeah, I know it's supposed to be funny, but I always... I guess it's just the joke of pork eaters. I find that always gets me, like, ah.
It's pretty... I think Lancelot is great, because it makes it this fairy tale of the prince stealing the daughter away from the evil husband. He just makes it seem gross. Like, just, it's about raising the price of pork, basically, and making a Jew into a Christian. Oh, we were all, like, it's just about raising the price of pork.
There were too many of us to begin with.
Yeah, this is where Lorenzo, he's just so greasy and douchey. I do not care for him. But he makes it interesting. This little side story, too, is really interesting. Like, Portia leaves and then tells two strangers, essentially, Jessica and Lorenzo, yeah. Okay, you be us, we're leaving. Take care of my house. What's worse could happen there? But it's where Jessica starts to say some pretty interesting things.
Yeah, it's not all as wonderful in the land of Jessica and Lorenzo.
Yeah. Feel free to go to our webpage at bardbrawl.com and read Eric's take and little
show notes
and whatnot. I think this week he'll be talking a bit about the source text. For all of those people out there who complain about screenplays copying other screenplays, or this song is just like that song, or this is that, all of Shakespeare's play are based on something else. So there, that's my little rant for the day. Thank you, Eric, Melissa, Benny, and Mickey for joining us this week. Tune in next time when we will go into Act 4.
Yeah, it's a chunky one.
The Court of Justice. It'll be a chunky one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Chunky one in two scenes.
Sonnet 98. From you have I been absent in the spring, when proud pied April, dressed in all his trim, hath put a spirit of youth in everything, that heavy Saturn laughed and leapt with him. Yet nor the lays of birds, nor the sweet smell of different flowers, in odor and in hue, could make me any summer's story tell, or from their proud lap pluck them where they grew. Nor did I wander at the lily's white, nor praise the deep vermilion in the rose. They were but sweet, but figures of delight, drawn after you, you pattern all of those. Yet seemed it winter still, and you away, as with your shadow I with these did play.